With a complexion like peaches and cream, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast, soon to be named to the Medicare Podcast Hall of Fame. And now heavily invested in cigarettes, not the stocks, but the actual cigarettes, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, everybody. It's Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, your three-time-a-week dip into the Medicare pool of knowledge. At least I'd like to think it's a pool of knowledge. I dip my toes in it frequently, and I'm glad that you're along for the ride. We are here to help you understand that that transition from Obamacare into Medicare should not be a frightening thing. It should be a cause for celebration in some regards. But that lazy man or lazy lady, whichever you might be, that has joined our audience is just somebody that does not want to become an insurance expert. Someone who knows that they have to make a couple of informed decisions about Medicare, but they don't know how to pursue the knowledge that would allow them to make good decisions. Well, you've come to the right place because we can do the thinking for you. Or as Lucy said, the thinning. We'll do the thinning for you. Might have been Ricky that said that, not Lucy. Anyway, so welcome to our podcast. We do this frequently, and hopefully you'll come and join us on a regular basis just to explore the fun activities that we all have planned for you. I've got a fun activity planned today, and I know Randy's going to be pretty excited when I tell him all about it. So let's wake him up and see if he wants to play. Hey, Randy, how are things doing for you right now?
Oh, hi, Doug.
Yeah, you know, I really thought without the eyeballs painted on your glasses lenses, I really thought you were awake and paying attention. But I realize now I said the word Medicare, and that set you off into a coma.
Well, there's that. But the other thing that could really get me wired up, as you know, is Medicare Advantage plans.
Oh, boy.
We'll talk about that later.
I'm not even going to go there. I do have a stack of articles about Medicare Advantage plans. You're going to love to hear these articles. But I thought today, it's been a little while since we've actually dipped into the mailbag, so I thought I'd make this Randy's choice. We can read articles that are danger, Will Robinson, danger about Medicare Advantage plans, or we can dip into the mailbag so that you can go to the Buffalo Chip this weekend and not be worried about the crowd of fans that are likely to yell at you. Which do you prefer?
I want mailbag.
All right, let's do that then. Let's do that. But I'm saving some articles that I think you're going to. They're not happy articles. They're sad for people that are fully invested in Medicare Advantage plans. But they expose some of the reasons that we haven't even touched on about why Medicare Advantage plans are more trouble than people expect them to be. Anyway, but now I've got the mailbag in front of me, and I've reached way down inside, and I'm wearing my falconry gloves, so whatever lives down there, when it tries to chew my fingernails, it's just going to get a mouthful of leather, and I've pulled out a handful of the correspondence that people have sent us. The address, if you want to put your thoughts into our mailbag, the address to use is dbj@mlmmailbag.com, and then you'll find yourself in the bottom of the mailbag, along with whatever strange life form is down there, waiting for my hand to dip down there. So the first piece of correspondence I have, and we're a little behind, so this arrived on February 27th of 2021. It's from David, and David said, "I read your book, version 20. And version 2021. But I'm unclear about the best timing for enrolling in Part B of Medicare. I turned 65 in June of 2021, and I have company provided health insurance benefits, which I pay monthly premiums for my wife and I. I don't plan to retire before the end of 2022, or maybe even later. Your book advises enrolling for Part A as soon as I am eligible. but with Part B, I'll be charged a monthly premium. My company benefit plan provides doctor's office, primary and specialty care coverage. I'm concerned about the penalty for delaying Part B enrollment until I am no longer covered by my company benefits. Will there be a penalty if I wait until I leave the company or retire and begin taking Social Security? If not, when is it best to enroll if I plan to leave the company in December 2022 at age 66 years and 6 months? Thanks for any suggestions. Signed, Dave. So I responded, thanks for writing, Mr. So-and-so. You have no reason to worry about a late enrollment penalty for Part B of Medicare as long as you are considered an active employee. And that means not laid off or retired. And if you're still covered by your employer group plan. When your desired retirement date approaches, it would be prudent to initiate your enrollment in Part B 3 months or less before the date you want it to take effect. Typically, you will prepare to disenroll from your company plan on the last day of a particular month, while your Part B coverage will start the next day on the first of the following month. Once you receive your Medicare ID card showing your Parts A and B start dates, you and your agent, me for instance, can arrange for the Medicare supplement and prescription drug plans of your choice to begin on the same date. Starting this process 2 or 3 months ahead of your target date allows for all of the details to be completed without worrying about the deadline. That way, there will be no gap in protection and no concern about any late enrollment penalties. The only detail I don't know about is whether your wife will need coverage after your disenrollment date. Please let me know if I can help further. The next item came from a person named Donald. This was we crossed from February into March. So Donald says, message, Medicare, I think he went to the website. I don't know. Yeah, I think he went to our website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We're jiggering with that, but it should be fairly apparent. If you go to the website and scroll down on that landing page, you're going to come to a couple of buttons. One says, would you like a quote? And you can use that to not only send your particulars, the information I would need to do a quote for you for Medicare supplement plan, but also to ask any questions. The form is set up in such a way that if you have things to say, like how much you love the podcast, maybe you don't like Randy, maybe you wish I wouldn't talk so much and let Randy talk more, you can put those thoughts into a special field on the form, but once you push the button, the form goes directly to me. It's not seen by any other eyes at all. So that's how you can send a message rather than an email if you prefer. Anyway, Medicare A and B and drug plan just started. Retirement this week. Can you quote me a cost for the high deductible G plan? Also, do I have to start now or can I hold off for a couple of years without any penalty? Boy, the answer to that is no, sir. You cannot hold off for a couple of years without any penalty. It'd be nice to save that kind of money, wouldn't it? And, you know, I recommend buying the high deductible plan G so you can put your savings right into your sock drawer or under your mattress. But if you don't spend anything on any insurance, that's the biggest savings of all. Of course, the day that you get run over by a bus is going to be the day you kind of regret not having that insurance. So my response was, hello, Mr. So-and-so. I need some info, some of the info on the attached questionnaire in order to tell you what the cost would be. And I will be happy to do that as soon as you provide the non-sensitive information and send it back to me. And then I said, there is never a late enrollment penalty for Medicare supplement. However, the danger is failing to purchase for a long enough period of time until they can demand evidence of good health. The risk there is that if your health changes suddenly during the 6 month period after Part B starts, you may have lost the opportunity to buy a supplement plan. I should have said the risk is that if your health changes suddenly after the 6 month period, because when you get Part B of Medicare, you've got a guaranteed 6 month period where you don't have to prove good health in order to buy a Medicare supplement. When that 6 month period ends, if you still haven't bought your supplement, and if your health were to change at some point, then you would lose your opportunity to buy a supplement without showing evidence of good health. So we're trying to avoid that eventuality by advising you to get the supplement when you're first eligible for it. Then I said, I will be able to help you out as soon as you return the attached questionnaire. I know for a fact that this gentleman did return the attached questionnaire, and he is waiting. Just every month he saves a few dollars, and he is waiting to do business with me when he thinks the time is right. So I hope he pays attention to my advice to get it done sooner rather than later. So now we have a lady. Even ladies like to write to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Hi, Doug. I had brought your 2020 edition guide last year when my husband became eligible. I turned 62 this month and wondering if you have or have plans to release an updated book, or is it even necessary? I realize that I have plenty of time and I have signed up for your updates. Thank you. And it's Mary Beth. So I said, Mary Beth, thanks for writing. It is very distressing to me that you haven't been able to locate my newest book, especially since it's been on sale since December. So that's like 4 months from December 24th, I think it went on sale, to March. And Mary Beth was not able to find the 2021 book. So I went on to say, to find the 2021 book, I would go to Amazon and search Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. The year is no longer in the official title. The edition you're looking for has a red 2021 on the cover. I think you are not the only one having difficulty locating it. After you have had a chance to review it, would you mind leaving a short written customer review? I really hope it will help others find it. Thank you very much. So, of course, I had to sneak that little plea, or in this case, it was a politely worded request for a written customer review. If you read the book and you go to Amazon and tell them that you enjoyed the book, that does so much more. A short written review, it can be one sentence and it doesn't even have to make sense grammatically as long as you click the five stars. But if you click the five stars without writing a written review, there's less evidence for future readers to look at and understand that you thought the book was helpful. So just a little request from me. If you're going to go back to Amazon and click the rating in order just to give it a rating without having printed any sort of your thoughts, then you're not doing the best possible job for people following up, people coming behind you into Medicare. So here we go with Eric. Eric wrote, Doug, I currently live in New York and will at the time of my upcoming enrollment period. If I pick a supplement plan and move to another state 3 or 4 years later, will I have to pick another plan or will my rate be subject to change? And I responded to Eric. I said, you may keep the Medicare supplement plan anywhere you move in the U.S. or possessions. I said, there may be a premium adjustment, but my uneducated guess is that you would enjoy a premium reduction from New York rates. Thank you for writing. Let me know if I can help in any other way. And I've since discovered that the company that I use most frequently does not adjust the rates upward if you move to a more expensive area, but they do adjust the rates downward. So Eric would be likely to get a rate reduction after he moved out of New York. Oh boy, I got a multi-pager here. I hope it's interesting. How are we looking time-wise?
We got 6 minutes left. So if you got a big fat letter, I think you got time.
This is from Barbara, and I am going to find the very first contact you made with me. So Barbara wrote back again in March. Barbara wrote, message, I need help. I will retire this year. I'm 67 and have been on excellent health insurance plan through my job. That will end in August of 2021. I'm signed up for Medicare A. I need help. So then I responded to her. I am happy to help, Ms. So-and-so. As a first step in understanding your situation, I'm attaching a short questionnaire for your attention. if you would provide whatever information you feel comfortable disclosing and send the questionnaire back to me, I will be able to let you know what your various Medicare options are likely to cost. Also, if you would like me to predict your least costly prescription drug plan, please provide the information on requested on the attached prescription drug listing form. As an alternative, please give me a synopsis of your current situation and what it is you would like to accomplish. Thanks for writing. I'm looking forward to further communication with you. So then, that was one and two. Paragraph three. I may have confused this. I think I followed up with her and I said, I sent you a two-page questionnaire a while ago so that I could give you the exact cost of some available options. Since I don't know your precise location, your zip code and parish, I knew she was in Louisiana. Your smoking status, household discount eligibility, I can only offer estimates for Medicare supplement plan rates from the companies I use in Louisiana. And so therefore I'm looking at the rates that I wrote down for her. To wrap this up, Medicare supplement plan, high deductible plan G is my strong favorite, and United American has the most attractive rates I have seen for that plan. Therefore, I have attached a brochure from them in case you find it helpful. I look forward to speaking with you again anytime more questions arise. And I did say, let's see. Oh, I talked to her on the phone. I said, Barbara, it was a pleasure spending time with you on the phone today. You asked for a recap of my advice, and I'm happy to do that. You have Medicare Part A, which will pay the cost of your medical bills if you're inpatient in a hospital or nursing home, et cetera. Soon you will enroll in Medicare Part B, which pays most of your bills for outpatient treatment should that be needed. After you pay for the Part B annual deductible, which is $203 this year, because it's 2021, Medicare will pay 80% of your outpatient medical expenses, leaving the other 20% to be paid either by you or by the additional insurance you decide to purchase. This additional insurance might take the form of a Medicare Advantage plan, which I do not recommend, or a Medicare supplement plan, which I do recommend. My recommendations to my relatively healthy people are to consider either Plan G, which is the most comprehensive and expensive Medicare supplement plan available, or high deductible plan G, which is the most cost-effective Medicare supplement. Plan G will start covering 20% of your outpatient charges right after that $203 annual deductible, but it's fairly expensive. High deductible plan G will require that you pay that 20% share of your outpatient medical expenses until your cost adds up to $2,370 in a given year. If your 20% share actually reached $2,370, that means that your total medical expenses came close to $12,000, a pretty unlikely event for an otherwise healthy person. From this point, high deductible plan G would pay 100% for the balance of the year, just like regular plan G. However, you would not have to write a check for your entire deductible. Instead, since you've been saving perhaps $100 or more every month, you can subtract that savings from the $2,370, leaving something on the order of $1,000 or maybe $1,200 that you would have to come up with during a year of unusually expensive medical treatment. So then that's when she said, thanks so much for your time and expertise. I'm so grateful. I'm sure I'll have more questions. So I look forward to seeing Barbara's name again as those questions occur to her. And let's see, here's one from James. This one spilled over into April. So James said, good morning, Doug. I hope you are doing well, with a question mark. So does that leave room for me not doing well? I hope not. Anyway, late last year, I was made aware of Medicare for the Lazy Man. I bought it, read it, and keep it on my desk at home. I'm currently 68, still working full-time, and while I have Medicare Part A, I carry coverage from my employer to cover my wife since she is not yet 65. I plan to continue working until I'm 70. Always looking ahead, your book and thought process makes sense. But did I miss it, or is it not mentioned in your opinion? What is the best way to address dental, vision, and hearing, and those types of annoying issues as we get older? Any advice will be appreciated. I'll be back in 2022. So my response to James was, hello, James. Thanks very much for writing. You aren't the first person to chastise me for not paying enough attention to dental, vision, and health coverage in my prior books. I will try to do better in the next edition. If you buy it, and I hope my efforts will be reflected in a short written customer review. I snuck that in there way early in the answer. There are many, many insurance companies that offer individual and family dental, vision, and hearing policies for sale. I see two problems that make this a less than ideal solution for many people who want or need this kind of protection. First, retiring employees leaving a company provided dental, vision, and hearing coverage will discover that individual policies are a lot more expensive than they are expecting. Second, in an effort to keep the price down, many of these policies will only pay benefits if doctors in their proprietary networks are seen for treatment. That often means that either a person has to change dentists or find a satisfactory insurance plan whose network includes the dentist of their choice. My dentist of many years never subscribed to any network, which would have made it difficult to find a satisfactory dental, vision, and hearing plan that would pay for my treatment. Not long ago, I discovered a highly rated company with a dental, vision, hearing plan that does not mandate the use of a network. They do have a network, but they will reimburse an insured client for treatment by a doctor who does not belong to that network. This simplifies my effort to provide a quality product when asked, but it doesn't necessarily solve the problem of cost that some are disappointed by. I have attached a brochure from this company, Manhattan Life, for your edification. It is specific to Tennessee. Benefits and rates for residents in other states might be different. Be sure to let me know if I can be of further assistance. Otherwise, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you a couple of months before your anticipated retirement date. Hope he doesn't forget. And he said, thanks, Doug. I will hold on to this until I get closer. Talk to you then. So that was a nice little exchange, except for the fact that he did not reach out to buy the dental insurance. Well, of course, he's not ready for it yet, but he didn't act like that was a really good solution. I don't really have a good solution. A lot of people ask about dental coverage, and I don't have anything more than what I've told you, which is if you want to stay out of a network, then you've got to take a plan that doesn't rely on a network. If you want to change dentists, then the world is your oyster, and you can go shopping for the least expensive plan in your area, because if you're willing to change dentists, you can go to a dentist in a network that you are not yet, you know, or that he is a member of that maybe you, your dentist is not. My dentist was like a friend, and so I could not go to another dentist without causing some problems. So I never did, and I never had dental insurance. So that is that leads us to a gut buster, which I'm guessing you're going to tell me we don't really have time for.
We are out of time, Mr. Jones.
Well, I've still got some mailbag correspondence that we can use in a follow-up episode.
Cool.
I can't wait to dig into these articles about Medicare disadvantage plans. There's some juicy stuff there.
You asked me last week, you said, why do you have so much surveillance equipment around your house? And you know what my answer was, right? Do you remember?
Well, it was that you have a lot of people, a lot of weirdos hanging around out there, and you want to make sure you keep tabs on them.
I want to make sure that there's no Medicare Advantage salesman sneaking up on me.
Precisely the weirdos I had in mind.
Well, we need to rein in this horse here. We're kind of out of gas, and the plane's coming in. we have lifted up, or no, we didn't lift up. We lift up your tray table into its upright and locked position. And then we stowed our stuff where it used to be up in the overhead so that it doesn't drop on our head, because, you know, things could have shifted during the flight.
That's what I understand. And also, apparently, we have to add mask wearing. Now, we must wear masks at all time, even though everybody's vaccinated, and even though you're not going to be spitting on your fellow passengers. Let's wear those masks, people. Yeah. Put them up. Put them up.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, you know where I go. I usually go to Europe. I couldn't keep a mask on for 6.5 hours for no money.
And, you know, I used to like pretty girls yelling at me, but not so much anymore. So, and besides, they're not that young, and they're not necessarily all that pretty. They're the same people that were there back when I was in my 20s. And they're not happy about being there. So I don't want to get yelled at by a bunch of angry flight attendants.
No. Well, you know, we need to thank the audience. But before we do that, I wanted to just point out that Doug has announced a secret following the 4th of July sale for all of his books.
Every one of them.
Is, you know, 4th of July, you know, we're going into the, you know, the August, the hottest time of the year in Phoenix. So we're going to try to cool things off with a really cool sale. And the sale is, if you order 6 copies of his book, you pay for only 6.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. The only problem, the only flaw in our little pitch here is that it's probably going to be September by the time this episode airs. So let's keep in mind the lead time. We're way ahead of the game.
Yes, we are. There is that problem. But thank you, everyone, for joining us today. You could have been 100 different places, but instead you're coming in for a landing on MLM Air. And that, I believe it's a biplane. Did you upgrade to a 737, or was it?
No, I did not. The budget will not handle that kind of an upgrade, so we're back on the biplane.
Well, just like you get some free stuff with a Medicare Advantage plan, like a Pepsi, a tube of Pepsodent and a toothbrush. Yep. Well, in MLM Air, you get a leather helmet.
Yes, and frankly, we have used it in prior planes that have crashed, and it always survives the crash somehow. So,
yeah, actually, absolutely. So that's how tough those planes are. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're closing in on the airport, and we are out of gas, so now we are gliding. Thanks for joining us. We enjoy it every time. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.